الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا واتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا واتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. After what proceeds, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His help and His forgiveness and His assistance. Indeed, he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After that, I greet you with the greetings of peace and the greetings of the people of Jannah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Today you will learn, inshallah, the excellence or the virtues of a righteous wife, or being a righteous wife, or having a righteous wife. You will also learn the attributes of a righteous wife. You will also learn some prohibitions concerning not becoming righteous, or not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these aspects. So you have on one hand Allah Azza wa Jal giving you a reward for doing what He has commanded. On the other hand, if you don't do it, there's a punishment in store. This is why the Sharia, it has different categories when it comes to fiqh. You have obligatory, you have recommended, you have dislike, and you have permissible, and then you have haram, forbidden. So look how many categories in the Sharia, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have four things that you are allowed to do. Some of them are more virtuous than others. And you have one thing which is prohibited. To simplify that more, Allah Azza wa Jal has so much mercy in store for us. And we have to learn how to be thankful for this mercy. And inshallah ta'ala, today we will learn about the excellence of having a righteous wife. So we go to the text, walaikum salam. Go to the text concerning the excellence of having a righteous wife, or excellence of a righteous wife. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, all of this world is a utility, and the best utility is a righteous wife. This hadith is recorded in Muslim. You see here, Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us men the blessing that you may have in your companion. Rasulullah said, all of this world is a utility, and the best utility is a righteous wife. This word could also mean a means, or it could mean, a tool. Okay. With all due respect, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, four things are from prosperity: a righteous woman, a spacious dwelling, a righteous neighbor, and an agreeable riding beast. And four things are from adversity: an evil neighbor, an evil woman, a bad riding beast, and a cramped dwelling. This hadith is in Ibn Hibban, it's sahih, according to Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. He said this is the standard of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. We see from this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us some of the blessings of Allah azza wa jalla upon us. What could be understood by this hadith is that there are four things that are, these four things are part of the good life. Okay? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon a person. Prosperity, a righteous woman. Allah azza wa jalla give you a woman or a companion who is salih. A spacious dwelling. This is also from the gifts and the mercy. This is also from prosperity. A righteous neighbor and an agreeable riding beast. Okay, and four things are from adversity: an evil neighbor, an evil woman, a bad riding beast, and a cramped dwelling. So here we see the wisdom of Rasulullah ﷺ. And all of these things, even if you had, if you have these four things, you have the real wealth of this world. As we'll see below, Thawban radiallahu anhu, he narrated, when revelation was sent down concerning silver and gold, when I went over this hadith, I found it very significant. They said, so which wealth shall we possess? The companions, they asked this question. Umar said, I shall find this out for you. SubhanAllah. Look at Umar, look at the Sahaba in their learning, and how they were so eager to learn and to understand the Quran. Umar got on his riding, whatever he was getting on, he got on it, went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it had to be far enough that you couldn't walk. He got on a riding camel or a riding beast or whatever he was riding, and said he'd find it out for his companions. Just one question. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said he went and he found him. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, which wealth shall we possess? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let one of you possess a heart which is thankful, a tongue which makes mention of Allah, or makes mention of, i.e. Allah, and a believing wife who helps one of you upon the affairs of the hereafter. This hadith is in Tirmidhi. Ibn Majah, Ahmed, and others. What can we understand from this hadith? According to this hadith, the real wealth of this world is a heart that is thankful. SubhanAllah. A tongue which makes mention of Allah, and a believing wife who helps one of you upon the affairs of the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us the standard of Allah's favor upon us. If we look at ourselves and we look at our life, we'll understand a lot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties upon us. It is not always in the form of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, right, Abraham Lincoln. No. The real wealth is a thankful heart, a remembering tongue, and a righteous wife. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. You know, as a footnote, a lot of the new Shahadas, you know, they come to Islam and they're trying to stick to the Sunnah, but, you know, they become despaired from it because of the trials and problems that are involved in sticking to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of remaining upon the Aqidah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's kind of complex for a number of reasons. So sticking on the Sunnah now here today in 2005 in South Carolina, as well as America and all over the world. You know, some common problems is poverty, lack of support, modernist Muslims condemning them for trying to follow the Sunnah. When they run into these problems, so with all of this pressure from so many different angles, they give up. They give up. And this is wrong to not try to face these problems and these challenges on sticking into the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is oppression of yourself. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed us on what will be happening during these trying times. He gave us advice on how to stick to the Sunnah. He gave advice to all of his ummah on how to succeed. Rasulullah, he said in a famous hadith, all of my ummah will enter into Jannah except those who refuse. Look at the eloquent words. The companions, they inquired, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all those who obey me will enter into the paradise, and all those who disobey, they are the ones who refuse. Or like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. So the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an obligation. It's an obligation upon all of the followers of Islam. We see from the hadith of the Hawl, or concerning where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be on the day of judgment, he will have a cistern wherein all the people who belong to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will drink from this cup, inshallah. They will drink from this cup, and those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may recognize are from his ummah, he will say, my ummati. But then the angels will reply, you do not know what he did after you left, or he left your way after you left. And the Prophet alayhi salam will say, get away, go far away, away, away. So we see from this hadith that it's an obligation to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is a must. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just to be acknowledged. He sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for us to have an example, a mercy, for us to receive guidance. In khutbatul haja, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach this khutbah like he would teach the Quran. Inside of this khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught, فَإِنَّ الْخَيْرِ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرِ الْحَدِيثِ هَدِي مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the best of speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْرِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. It's an obligation to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in understanding this, your understanding of the Quran, your understanding of the Islam will become more clear. More clear. So you have to question yourself and realize that the real wealth is not green paper with faces on them. But the best gift is a remembering tongue, a thankful heart, and a righteous wife. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khair upon the believers. Tayyib ibn Hajar, the righteous wife, and of good manners, is the religion should be the aim which he gives importance to in all of his affairs, particularly those affairs which he will be involved in for a long period of time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to obtain a woman who is good in her practice of the religion, which is the goal that is desired. Now Ibn Hajar, even though these may be words of a little complexity when it comes to understanding this, because this, Ibn Hajar was one of the famous commentators of, I think it was Sahih Muslim, if my memory serves me correctly. A righteous man who is telling us, or it may be Sahih Bukhari. I think he wrote the Fath, which is the tafsir of Sahih al-Bukhari. This great scholar is telling us the meaning is fit for a person upon the religion of good manners is that the religion should be the aim which he gives importance to in all of his affairs, particularly those affairs which he will be involved in for a long period of time. You have to realize when you're picking a wife, you're not picking a chicken. You're not picking a tomato in the market. This is something that you will spend all your life with. This is the one whom you will retire to at nighttime. This is the woman whom you will have governing your children after you leave. This is the woman whom is the pivotal backbone of your home. You're not picking out a piece of pizza. When you're choosing your wife, you are not choosing a game on the market. Oh, let me try this one. No. Let me see how this works. No. When you are choosing a wife, you have to choose very, 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 very wisely. And the best of them are the most righteous of them. And the worst of them are the most wretched of them. Okay? And we have to understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a righteous wife, you have an abundance of wealth, even though it may not have a face on it. and it may not have a number. You probably couldn't spend it in the store. A righteous wife is a part of Allah's ni'mah upon the believers. But yeah, now we will slide into some knowledge of the attributes of the righteous women. Okay, you could also call this dars and attributes of righteous women. We'll go over the meat, some of their attributes. There are many, but inshallah ta'ala, we'll just go over 13. Devotion and obedience to Allah the Most High. This is one of them. We'll go over inshallah. Obedience to her husband. Red light. Yes, obedience to your husband. Guarding and preserving herself and her honor in the absence of her husband. Now all these are obligations. So all those with ears, pay attention. Serving her husband. Okay? We have a law, inshallah ta'ala, we go more in depth about it. Keeping her husband's secrets. This is a haq. This is a right for the right of the husband over his wife. If she is not preserving this right, she's committing dhul. And inshallah ta'ala, we go in more in depth. She should appear before another right of his over her. She should appear before the husband in the best appearance. Another right, she should not spend any of his wealth or her wealth except with his permission. And there may be some khilaf above this, and hopefully we'll go over the ahkam concerning this later. She should not permit anyone to enter her husband's house except with his permission. Another haq, another right. She should not ask her husband for a divorce without a reason necessitating that. Another right, avoidance of cursing. Another right, being thankful to the husband. Another right, she should not remove her clothes outside her husband's house. Another right, striving to please the husband by every possible means. This is the right over the wife. These are the attributes of the wife, of the righteous wife. These are some of the righteous women, all you righteous women who are listening. Some of the qualities that you should be aiming for are these 13 qualities. And hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, we can go briefly into them. Number one, devotion and obedience to Allah the Most High, such that she fulfills his rights, such as the prayer, fasting, chastity, covering herself, and withholding her glaze, and so on. You have to have devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the greatest attributes of the righteous woman, the righteous wife. She's conscious of Allah azza wa jal. She has a thankful heart that Allah azza wa jal created her and gave her the blessings he's given her, the understanding of the deen. He gave her Islam and the tawheed that purifies and elevates people. Number two, obedience to her husband in that which she does not involve disobedience to Allah the Most High, such that she fulfills his right completely, and from them are what has proceeded in the last lecture. We talked extensively about the obligation. It is not a choice. It is not good, not only good to do or just good to do. It is an obligation to obey your husband. And all those who may be shaking their heads, I hope this will be a means of proof against you on the day of judgment. We have to realize that obedience to the husband is essential for you to qualify as a righteous wife. It is the backbone of being a companion. Your husband, having the knowledge enough to know not to lay burdens on you that you can't handle. Your husband, understanding what you can handle and what you can't, and trying his best to not burden you, but to deal with you with hikmah, like Rasulullah, he taught us. You know, don't try to straighten them so much that you may break them. You know, don't leave them alone, because why? They'll get crooked. If you find the middle ground with your wife, you'll be the best of men walking. Number three, that she guards and preserves herself and honor in the absence of her husband. Now this is very important. From the hand of anyone wishing to touch her, the eye, she preserves her, no, don't touch me. The eye of anyone wishing to look upon her, she tries to hide herself and hide her private parts. The ear of anyone wishing to listen to her, okay, you find, you know, as an experience as a woman, you know, if I put my voice in such a, you know, you, in America they have a habit. Maybe the English language is, it's easy to do. They start popping the S's, right? You know, you talk on the, you know, and so on, you know, right? In English, the women who try to flirt with men, they have a habit of popping their S's. I call it popping the S's. Give me a line. Help me out, Naeem. But they make a hissing sound, right, with their S's. And so and so and so and so, right? This is beautifying your voice. This is what Allah has prohibited. And this is one of the attributes of the righteous woman. You don't have to talk tough like Mr. G, but use a moderate ground. Okay? If you know that you may be alluring by your voice, try to give it a tone which may not be so attractive. This is easy to do. Likewise, that she preserves her husband's children, home, and wealth. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most High, He says, translation of the meaning, and this is one of the dalil. Therefore, the righteous women are obedient to Allah and their husbands, Allah musta'an, and guard that which Allah has ordered them to guard in the absence of their husbands. One of the ulama of the deen, he said, the meaning that they are obedient to Allah, the Most High, meaning they are obedient to their husbands, even when their husbands are absent, she guards herself and her husband's property. Now there's a bit of conflict concerning this command. Women, especially in America, think that guarding her husband's property only pertains to his bank account. Long as I don't spend his money, that's it. That's his property. No. His property is guarding the home, making sure it's clean, making sure there's no stink, making sure the floor is clean, make sure the dishes are washed. This is his property. Making sure when he walks inside his home, he does not get a Mr. T face. Fool, would you? No. This is one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights that the husband has over the wife. Guarding his property in his absence, this is one of his rights, that you take care of his property. You maintain it. Okay? You maintain. Hafiz is like, maintaining. It's like preserving. Okay? How are you going to preserve his property when it stinks? When it's dirty and when flies all over the food? Right? This is not maintaining his property. A righteous woman, she does not allow her husband's property to become like this, because she knows that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded her to be otherwise. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if a woman, translation of which, If a woman prays her five prayers, fast her month, Ramadan, guards her private parts, and obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter paradise through whichever of the gates of paradise you wish. Can you imagine what a man has to do to get every name or every gate to open for him? Right? What do men have to do? Jihad, fisk, be the letter. Right? One of the most that a woman, the most hardest of these things here, and Allah knows best, is obeying her husband. This is hard. It is complex, especially if he's a knucklehead. He's lazy. He is lazy. Right? And he's a man. And he's a male chauvinist. Right? But still, this does not take the command from your head or from your back. You still have to obey him. Would he be so if you were treating him right? Okay, now I'm no counselor, but I could go more in depth, but it would go beyond the scope of this lecture. Because believe me, your husband, majority of the time, is reacting to your actions, or you are reacting to his actions. If you compliment each other, then situations or your actions toward each other will be more better. This is from common sense. Okay? Because trust me, if you are responding to your husband correctly, if you are looking after your husband's needs, if you are if he sees this and he purposely goes against you, purposely treats you bad, and this is another thing. But 9 times, maybe 8 times out of 10, this won't happen. Similarly with the husband, okay? The husband, if the wife is not doing his part, then y'all gonna bump heads. But one has to take leadership. One has to take the leadership in the home when it comes to relations with each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah and His Messenger have apparently given this role to the wife, to take leadership, to say, okay, I know that you may be upset with me, but I will not sleep until you are pleased. This comes in the hadith. This teaching comes in the hadith. From this, we understand that the woman has to struggle to try to maintain good relations with the husband. If you know your husband doesn't like such and such to occur, he doesn't like you wearing such and such, then why do it? Why do it? Take the role. Take up the torch of being the leader in this aspect, and don't do it, even though you may dislike it. If you do this, the gates of paradise will be calling your name. Number 4, attributes of the righteous wife, serving her husband. Okay, serving him. First of all, by carrying out what is required in his house, such as bringing up and educating the children. This is sahih, according to Sheikh Al-Abdin rahimahullah. Understanding that your husband and your service to your husband, your servitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to your husband, you're serving your husband is a means to your paradise and a means to your fire. Is an example of how Asma bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma served her husband. She said to Az-Zubair, Az-Zubair married me and he did not have any property or slaves or anything upon the earth except for a camel which drew water from the well and his horse. That's poor, man. That's like one of us having a little pinto, man. No gas, man. He was poor. But, so I refused to feed his horse, draw the water, stench stitch his water bucket and prepare the dough, but I was not proficient in baking bread. So ladies from the Ansar, who were my neighbors and were honorable, used to bake the bread for me. I also used to carry the date stones upon my head from the land given to Az-Zubair by Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was about 2 miles away. Can you imagine carrying something, anything on your head for 2 miles? A lot of us won't even walk 2 miles. Man, I can't do it. And trust me, in the desert, it has to be daytime. You walking in the heat for 2 miles in servitude of your husband. SubhanAllah. One day when I was coming with the day stones on my head, I met Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a group of the Ansar were with him. So he called me and said, ik, a word said to make the camel kneel down, in order to carry me behind him upon the camel. I felt shy to proceed along with the men, subhanAllah, and I thought of Az-Zubair and his sense of jealousy. So he was the most, jealous of the people. So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw my shyness and passed on. So I came to Az-Zubair and said, Allah's Messenger met me while I was carrying the date stones upon my head, and with him were a group of his companions. He caused his riding camel to kneel, but I felt shy and remembered your sense of jealousy. So he said, by Allah, your having to carry the date stones is harder upon me than that you should ride along with him. She said, Then later on, Abu Bakr sent me a servant to look after the horse, so it was as if he had set me free. She was doing some hard work, man. The scholars differ with regard to the ruling about a woman serving her husband. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, quote, the scholars differed about whether she was to serve her husband with regard to the like of household bedding, preparing foods and drinks, baking the bread, grinding the corn, and providing food for his slaves and cattle, such as providing for his riding beast and so on. Some of them say, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he's saying, it is not obligatory for her to serve him. La ilaha illallah. And this is a weak saying, like the weakness of the saying that it is not obligatory upon her to live together with him and have intercourse with him. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said this is like something hideous. However, what is correct is that it is obligatory to serve him, since the husband is her master according to the Book of Allah, and she is a captive with him according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the captive and the slave have to serve, and this is something known. I think the translator had a difficult time translating captive here. Now, all those who may have heard this saying, I don't think that Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was, rahimahullah, was meaning captive. Captive is like a POW. No. But this shows the extent on how it is obligatory. Do not listen to this scholar out of California, whatever his name is, saying that it is not. I heard him on one lecture when I first embraced Islam with his eloquent speech. He had a very eloquent speech. And it's captivating. And what he said, and I remember my wife saying, now you see, he said that we don't have to wash the dishes and clean it. And I'm like, this man, what in the world? So I listened to him. That's subhanAllah. And now we see here from the text of the Quran and Sunnah that it is not only does she have to do it, but she has to do it with a complete submission. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand this, the text from the Quran and Sunnah. This is showing how we should, it should be like breathing. These attributes of the righteous wife may seem so far-fetched to an American woman, right? She's probably, they're probably listening to me on the internet or in the Masala there, like, man, you crazy. I want, man, he just, I don't know. That don't sound right, right? I'm sure I'm getting that. But you have to understand, we are a long way. Our culture that we come from is a long way from righteousness. And we have to develop a way, a pattern, to go back to the fundamentals. Not to go further, right? And as a footnote, this kufan, they use this connotation in their media, which is magic, right? It's just modern day magic. The media, they say, the fundamentalist. You know, these are Sunni fundamentalists. What is a Sunni? Right? What is a fundamentalist? Right? In my opinion, we have to stick to the fundamentals. And they knowing this, they're using this word to try to twist the term and to try to make it look like we're the bad people. And we're not. We're just after righteousness. We're just after people giving charity. This is after people, after mankind going away from pornography and coming back to modesty. Going away from alcohol and intoxicants. That which intoxicate the body or the mind, to that which intoxicates the heart, which is the dhikr of Allah. Right? The remembrance of Allah. This is how we feed our hearts. This is our call. All we're saying is that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. He was a prophet. He came. He taught us the way to God. Okay? And in accordance to that way, we have to fully submit and live our life and try to imbibe inside of ourselves as women, as men and women, the attributes of righteousness. This call that I have said today, that the attributes of the righteous wife may seem far, far from what we may think is right today because of where we come from. Abu Mariam, oh man, you know, I used to like his lecture, but he go a little too deep. I am not going to hold my tongue. Right here, you're going to learn Quran and Sunnah. If Rasulullah SAW said it, you're going to get it. Inshallah. If Rasulullah SAW, he gave this knowledge to us, I have to be nothing except a vessel that you can come and dip from this knowledge and you can learn the pure, not the adulterated. You don't come and learn bid'ah here. You come, inshallah, learn Quran and Sunnah. This is what you're going to get. Teach yourself how to submit to it fully. You'll be more successful, you'll be a better person, and you'll be more rightly guided. Because the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the Sahaba understood it. No matter what you call it, no matter what terminologies you give it, no matter what words you do to describe it, the true path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran and Sunnah, how the Sahaba understood it. This is it. What's that? What else? What else do you have? There should be no misunderstanding when it comes to guidance. If Rasulullah said the woman has to serve the husband, then that's it. Submit wa ta'ana. I hear and I obey. Can you say this to yourself? When you took Shahada, did you say this to yourself? Well, Abu Mariam, I understand. But you still, you got to put it in a perspective that we can understand, and just give us by level. I'm going to give you what Rasulullah SAW taught his Sahaba, inshallah ta'ala. with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah ta'ala. But yep, and the scholar commentary on this ayat, on therefore the righteous women are obedient to Allah and their husbands, and guard that which Allah has ordered them to guard in the absence of their husbands. His commentary, this ayat shows that it is obligatory upon her to serve her husband unrestrictedly, including serving him, traveling along with him, making yourself available to him, and so on, just as it is obligatory to obey the parents, since the obedience due from her to the parents transfers to the husband. And that was a nice piece of information. Number five, the attributes of a righteous wife: keeping the husband's secrets. Allah Mustar. Particularly what occurs upon between him and her in private, with regard to sexual matters and private affairs within the marriage. Disclosing the husband's secrets will hurt him and anger him, and this contradicts obedience to him and seeking to please him. Furthermore, preserving his secrets is one of the duties of the righteous and obedient women, as described in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, translation of which, guarding that which is in the absence of her husband. SubhanAllah, this is a nice proof for the point that the scholar is making. Part of her guarding what they are ordered to guard in the absence of the husband is that they should not broadcast their secrets. It is an obligation for the woman to understand what is allowable when it comes to her speech, her actions, her appearance to in front of her husband. It's an obligation. All those women and men, you have to understand, we have to fully submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you just can't say, okay, I'm going to take a dose now. I'm not ready for this, Abu Maryam. I understand, but, you know, I'm going to take a little slice of the pie and I'm going to try to do, you know. No! Obligations are an obligation. They're not advice. They're obligations. They're a must to carry out. Those who do them, they receive reward and safety. Those who do not do them receive sin, and there could be some punishment associated with it. So, and you know, a lot of, you know, some sisters, they call me with regards to their husbands, telling me to advise them with what should they do, and they start yapping about other things that I don't need to know about. Okay, a sister called me yesterday, the other day. Tell me, and then she go yapping about other things that I have that need no concern to me. So what can I say? I understand. Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. I understand. Cause she just going off, right? I don't know what I'm saying. I was like, sister, I don't need to, you know. But I'm trying to, you know, keep with the sister. You have to understand, if you're listening here right now today, you have to keep his secrets. You have to keep his secrets. Unless it is something that may harm you or your family, you should get some advice from the proper channels. But you shouldn't be going to so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so under the cover of seeking advice. But all you want to do is expose him. Girl, give me your opinion about this. Give me, SubhanAllah. And you know, and here it goes. And you know, the reason why I'm telling you this is, you know, to justify their wrongdoing, is so that you can give me some light and some advice. Yeah, right. Allah knows you just want to tell his wrongdoings. Allah knows you just want to try to try to get your feet in, so you can have some other sisters say, "Oh no, she don't, he don't do right," and this and that and this and that. No, no, no. You got to fear Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, because Allah, inna Allaha kana alaykum raqib. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is upon you, is ever and watcher upon you. I could go more, but inshallah ta'ala, it's time for the salah, the establishment of the salah. It seems like that we will be going another lecture concerning the righteous wife next Monday. I originally planned that this lecture would be the fiqh class on Saturday. It is very enlightening. It is very in-depth, and the sheikh After Maghrib, every Saturday after Maghrib, and I advise personally to attend the fiqh class, so inshallah we can benefit from this knowledge. Next class will be a new subject. We went over Zahara. This class, or this Saturday after Maghrib, every Saturday after Maghrib, this Saturday after Maghrib will be concerning, we'll be starting the prayer, which is important. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakallahu khair.